Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today we're going to continue with our series on building our lives according to God's pattern. And I want to encourage you to take notes today because there's quite a bit to write down. But throughout the Bible, we see these patterns in Scripture that God has given us for every area of life so that we can build our lives the right way. And of course, there's only ever one right way to build your life, and that's God's way. Most people, though, try to build their lives according to their own way. But when you build anything according to a pattern that is faulty, what you end up with will always break. Today, I want to look at one of the most well-known patterns in Scripture, and it's the pattern Jesus taught His disciples that relates to our prayer life. Now, the pastor and theologian John Piper says that prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves, or our pattern, if you like, to God in the confidence that He will provide the help we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. And so today in part six, I want to speak to you on God's pattern for prayer. You know, I think the area of prayer is one that many Christians struggle with or feel guilty about. In fact, I'm pretty sure that every one of us, if we're honest, would say something like, I really need to pray more, or I probably don't pray as much as I should. In fact, I've never met a person who said, no, I think I actually pray too much. I really need to slow this prayer thing down a bit. No, I think it's something we all need to continually grow in. And the Lord's Prayer, as we know it by, is God's pattern for prayer in the Bible. Many of you would have grown up reciting it at school or church, but God's intention was never that we just memorize it, but rather that we use it as a pattern for how we pray and what we pray for. The Lord's Prayer is a pattern for us to pray according to, so that we have both structure and substance to our prayer life, rather than just rambling on about nothing in particular. Now, before we look at this pattern for prayer, it's important to note what Jesus said leading up to this prayer, because He mentioned some very important aspects regarding how to pray and also how God responds to our prayer. So let's pick up in Matthew 6 from verse 5. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. So firstly, we see here is that prayer is a requirement for the believer. You know, three times Jesus used the phrase, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray or should you feel the need to pray. He starts by telling us that prayer is essential in the life of every believer. The great Christian reformer Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. You see, to want a strong relationship with God but yet neglect prayer, well, it's impossible. Because prayer is as vital to our spirits as breathing is to our bodies. And without it, we actually suffocate our faith. So prayer is firstly a requirement for every believer. Then secondly, prayer is not for show or to impress others. Jesus said not to be like the hypocrites who pray to get the attention of people. You see, that's completely missing the point of prayer. Prayer is never about impressing people, but always about getting the attention of God. And if you do pray to impress people, well, then you'll miss out on getting God's attention. And, you know, I think a simple rule of prayer is to make sure that your way of praying publicly resembles your way of praying privately. In other words, don't pray long-winded prayers in front of people if you don't pray that way at home. Don't pray King James prayers at church. You know, the ones with the thees, the thous, and the thines. Don't pray that way at church if you don't pray that way in private. And also, don't pray with a quivering voice and an American accent in front of people if you don't pray that way in your quiet time. Jesus said that's what hypocrites do. You see, prayer must be directed to God and not to impress people. Thirdly, is that prayer is a private conversation with God. Jesus said to pray behind closed doors, alone with God, so that you create an intimate environment where you can draw close to Him. Now, obviously, there are times when we have to pray in front of other people or with others, but those cannot be the only times we pray. And neither must it be the majority of what we pray. If we're going to grow in our faith and know God personally, then the majority of our prayer time must be alone with God in a quiet place where we can speak to Him about what's on our heart, but more importantly, where we can hear from Him and discern His will for our lives. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't prohibit public prayer, provided that these prayers are directed to God and not to man. But prayer, as we see, is largely a private conversation with God. Fourthly, is that prayer is rewarded by God. Jesus said, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. In other words, prayer is not just something we do out of routine. No, prayer is something that God responds to and rewards by bringing answers to the things that we pray for. And, you know, Jesus was clear here that God sees our devotion to Him. He hears and He cares about the things we pray for. And when you pray with that understanding, well, it changes how we pray. Because if God sees and He listens and He cares, then there's nothing that we can't bring to Him in prayer. And church, if we truly believe that God answers prayer and that He rewards those who come to Him, I think it'll encourage us to come more often to God and talk to Him about everything happening in your life. But if you're not sure that God hears, or if you don't believe that He's interested in what's happening in your life, then it's unlikely that you'll pray regularly, and you definitely won't have much expectation of God answering the things that you do pray for. Fifthly, Jesus said of prayer that it's not mindless repetition. Jesus said not to babble on, merely repeating the words again and again. Now, imagine if I went to my wife, Yannette, and I said to her, my darling, you are so beautiful. Now, of course, I say that all the time to her, but her initial response, you know, would be to hug me or give me a big kiss. But if I kept repeating it over and over, say if I said, my darling, you are so beautiful, 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 and I went on and on, well, two things would happen. Firstly, she would get irritated by what I'm saying and would likely say, okay, I get it, but stop now. But also, she would question my sincerity because now, although I'm saying the right words, the fact that I'm mindlessly repeating them and babbling on, well, it causes them to lose their sincerity. And she'd probably rather that I kept quiet and didn't say anything. You see, prayer is not a mindless exercise of repeating what we think God wants to hear. Prayer is simply an honest conversation with God, and He doesn't look for eloquence or flattery, but God looks for sincerity. The great Charles Spurgeon once said that true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. And then number six regarding prayer is that God knows what we need before we pray it. Jesus said that your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, that's quite a thought. Some people, though, will respond to that by saying, well, do we even need to pray then? I mean, God already knows what I'm going to ask, so why bother? But the reason Jesus says that is not to discourage us from praying, but rather to give us a boldness when asking, because it means that God is not surprised by what we need or what we ask for. You know, when you pray about something, God doesn't go, oh, wait, stop. I didn't expect that. Holy Spirit, Jesus, did you guys know about that? I wasn't aware of that issue in your life. Pray something else. No, because God knows, it means he already has the answer to what you're about to pray. He doesn't have to research or Google what you're asking him. The answer is already available. So now it merely becomes about the right timing. And you don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed of what you pray about. You can boldly come before his throne of grace because he already knows what you need before you ask him. So with those six things in mind, let's have a look at God's pattern for prayer that Jesus taught. I hope you're being encouraged in your homes today. In verse 9, Jesus said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, notice Jesus doesn't tell us that we should stand in a certain posture or that we should hold our hands in a certain way or that we have to face a particular direction when we pray. No, we see that he gives us permission to come as we are into the presence of God so that we can speak with God and receive from him what we need. So then what is God's pattern for prayer? Well, firstly, is this. Number one, that prayer must be directed to God the Father. Jesus begins by saying that we must pray to our Father in heaven. Now, why would he say that? Why not just pray, dear God or oh Lord? You see, because praying to God as Father means that we're praying out of relationship. As believers, we are now praying as sons and daughters of God to our Father in heaven. Remember, as Christians, we've been adopted into God's family as his children. So we're not outsiders to the kingdom any longer. And when we come to God as Father out of relationship, it changes the way we pray and it changes what we ask for. You know, I'll give you an example of this. My kids can ask me for things that your kids can't ask me for. But your kids can ask you for things that my kids can't ask you for. And it's the same with God. When we ask as his children, we come with a greater boldness. There's a different kind of expectation, but also a deeper level of vulnerability than if we were asking someone else. You know, if you were to ask one of my kids how they were doing, they'd probably respond by saying, I'm fine, thanks. But when I ask them as their dad, they're more likely to go beyond just, I'm fine, thanks. They'll tell me about the things they did today, what they're concerned about, or what they're looking forward to because of the relationship we have. And it's the same when we come to God in prayer as our Father. Now, does that mean that if we pray to Jesus that God doesn't answer our prayers? No, it doesn't. It's not like he's saying, sorry, can't hear you. Got a bad signal here. You didn't say the magic words. No, God is one triune God, but yet there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three separate persons. And when Jesus prayed, he addressed his prayers to the Father. And you can write this down. The first rule of God's pattern is to follow the example of Jesus. And Jesus said that we should address God as Father when we pray. The Christian author Al Bryan says, you can never be a preacher if you read the Bible as though God were a policeman. Read it as though God were a broken-hearted father looking for a lost child. And I think the same would apply to prayer. If we approach God as anything other than Father, it will limit what we ask of Him and how we expect Him to respond. Secondly, regarding the pattern, is that in prayer, we bring reverence to God. Jesus said to pray, may your name be kept holy. You know, prayer is to give reverence to God, to acknowledge His greatness, His holiness, His majesty. It's kind of like greeting Him in an appropriate manner for which He's deserving. You know, in any normal conversation with someone, you acknowledge the person, you greet them accordingly. You don't just storm into their house or their office and immediately start telling them what you want and what you expect of them. And I think it's the same with God. You know, sometimes when I've been away for a few days or a week for work, and especially when the kids were little, when I'd get back, they'd see me and immediately the first thing they'd ask is if I brought them a present back, without greeting or acknowledging the fact that I'm back. And so when they'd ask, did you buy me a present? My response used to be, I'm fine, thanks. How are you? And the same applies when we approach God. We don't storm in telling Him what we need. No, we first acknowledge Him for who He is. We show reverence to Him. We exalt His holy name. Because as we do that, we give Him the honor that He's deserving, but we also ensure that we don't place a higher value on what we're asking of Him than we do on God Himself. The well-known Methodist minister E.M. Bounds once said that prayer honors God. It acknowledges His being, exalts His power, adores His providence, and then secures His aid. The third step of the pattern is that we pray to align our will with God's will. Jesus said to pray, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the primary purposes of prayer is to find out what God's will is. Lord, your will be done in my life and in my situation. I think when many people pray, their motive is the opposite. It's, Lord, my will be done. But you see, the purpose of prayer is never to try get God to change His mind to what we want. The purpose of prayer is to find out what God is wanting to do and then aligning our will with His will. There's a well-known story of a Russian man by the name of Ivan Denisovich, and he was sentenced to 10 years hard labor in a Soviet prison camp in the 1950s. And he went through terrible suffering and hardship. And on one particular day when he was praying with his eyes closed, a fellow prisoner noticed him and began to ridicule him by saying, prayers won't help you get out of here any faster. And Ivan Denisovich opened his eyes and answered and said, I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God. You see, when we pray according to our will, we will always pray prayers of comfort and convenience. But sometimes it's in the most difficult and unlikely places that God works both in us and through us in the most powerful way. And we can actually end up praying against the very thing He's trying to do in our lives if our will is not aligned with His. You know, church, prayer is not manipulating God to get what we want, but finding out what He wants us to do and then asking the Holy Spirit to empower us to do His will. I think one of the hardest things for all of us is letting go of wanting our own way in life. We generally want to do what we think is best for our own lives, but through prayer, we submit our will to His will so that we can build according to God's pattern for our lives. In 1 John 5:14, we see that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Remember when Jesus was praying in the garden the night before his crucifixion? I think he must have been so tempted to walk away from the cross and take the easier way out. But he went to his knees in prayer. And he prayed this in Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. The fourth step in the pattern is this. Pray for daily needs. Jesus said to pray, give us today the food we need. Some of the older translations say our daily bread, but Jesus was clear that we can come to God in prayer and ask him for what we need for each day. And of course, Jesus was very specific, though, to use the word today. He didn't say come to God on the first day of each month with your monthly shopping list of needs and then not to bother God again until next month. No, Jesus said to come to God each day in prayer so that we can believe for each day's needs to be met. So again, if your will is already aligned with the Father's will, then the things we ask for will not be out of selfish greed or selfish motives, but rather simply trusting for God's daily provision. The theologian D.A. Carson brings some good perspective to this. He says, the prayer is for our needs, not our greeds. It is for one day at a time, reflecting the precarious lifestyle of many first century workers who were paid one day at a time and for whom a few days' illness could spell tragedy. Remember, church, the primary goal of prayer is to talk with God and build relationship with him. Getting things from God is always secondary to getting to know him more. But as we grow in our relationship with God, well, we can confidently come before the Father in prayer, bringing him all our concerns and all our cares and all the things we lack. And then we can trust for those needs to be met on a daily basis. Fifthly is this, we pray to ask for God's forgiveness. I hope this is blessing you today. We pray to ask for God's forgiveness. Jesus said to pray, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Now, this is such an important part of our prayer life. We can come before God acknowledging the things we've done wrong and the areas we've fallen short in, because remember, he already knows anyway, and we can receive mercy and grace to cover our sins. Church, there's nothing that you've done that God the Father can't forgive when you come to him in prayer. However, there is a condition. As Jesus said, we have to forgive those who've sinned against us. Jesus said we can only pray for our own forgiveness if we've extended forgiveness to others. And the same measure that we use, well, God uses that measure for us. And I think this is probably the biggest hindrance to people's prayer life. We want God to hear us and answer our prayers, yet we block the communication channel by refusing to forgive those who've wronged us. The Welsh priest from the 1600s, George Herbert, once profoundly said that he who cannot forgive others destroys the bridge over which he himself must pass. Remember what Jesus said earlier, that we mustn't pray as the hypocrites do because their prayers don't get answered. And a hypocrite is simply someone who says one thing and then does another thing. You see, we can't ask for forgiveness if we're not prepared to offer forgiveness. To ask God for something we won't give to someone else is hypocritical, and God doesn't answer those prayers. You can pray all you like, but until you forgive, you cannot receive forgiveness. And without forgiveness, we have no relationship with God and therefore no position from which to ask God for anything. In fact, this is so important that Jesus again mentioned this in the verses straight after the Lord's Prayer. In verse 14 and 15, he says again, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we pray for daily needs, then for God's forgiveness. And now lastly, we pray for God's divine protection. We pray for His divine protection. Jesus said in verse 13 to pray, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." I think this past year with COVID has highlighted to us just how much we need God's protection. You know, there's so much we have no control over, and each day we need the Lord's protection and guidance so that we don't come to harm, but also so that we don't give in to temptation. Church, never forget the devil is doing his best to pull you away from God. He's desperate for you to follow a different pattern for your life. He wants to come between us and God, and of course, his most effective tool is always temptation. You see, the devil cannot make you sin, but he can put temptation in our path. Because sin is always a choice that we make, but the devil uses temptation to entice us to follow the evil desires in our hearts. And because we face temptation every day, well, it's something we must pray about every day. Because when we act on temptation, it always produces sin. And every day there's the temptation to lie or cheat or gossip or go back to our past habits and addictions or to watch things we shouldn't or even to be involved with people that we need to avoid. But prayer strengthens us in advance to resist the temptation, and it keeps you from pursuing what you shouldn't. Let me maybe just speak to the young people for a moment, especially those of you who are dating. You know, it's no use praying for God to keep you from temptation when your hands are already all over each other and you're half naked. No, it's too late then. You see, you need to pray in advance for God to strengthen you so that you don't give in, so that you keep your clothes on and you keep your hands in your pockets where they belong. It was John MacArthur, the great Bible teacher, who said that this petition is another plea for God to provide what we in ourselves do not have. It is an appeal to God to place a watch over our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our feet, and our hands, that in whatever we see, hear, or say, and in any place we go, and in anything we do, He will protect us from sin. And of course, each time you resist temptation, well, you're stronger the next time. Pray also for God to protect your life and your health and your business, your marriage, your children. You know, every morning I drop our kids at school, and before we leave the house, I pray for God's blessing and His protection over them. Because I can't see what they do or what they're exposed to or what temptations they face. So I pray in advance for God to divinely protect them from all evil. Ronald Dunn, the pastor and author, said that we do not pray by default because there's nothing else to do. We pray because it is the best thing that we can do. Church, God's pattern for prayer is simple, and it affords us the daily opportunity to come before the Creator, just as we are, to ask our Heavenly Father for what we need and to grow closer to Him each time we speak to Him, so that we are never without His presence and His power and His provision to guide us through each day. Can you say amen to that? I'd love to lead you in a prayer of salvation in a moment, a simple prayer whereby you can come to God and receive forgiveness for your sins. The Bible says that when we confess our sins to God and acknowledge our need of Jesus, He is faithful to forgive. You know, God never turns anyone away who comes to Him with a sincere and repentant heart. And when He forgives your sins and you receive Jesus as Lord, you are, as the Bible says, born again. You become a new person, made alive by the Holy Spirit. And God gives you the promise of eternal life because now you know Him as your Father in heaven. Would you pray with me today? Father God, I come to You in the name of Jesus. Thank You that Your Word is a pattern for my life. Thank you that your pattern of salvation says that I can come to you through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed at the cross for me. Thank you that it washes me clean from my sin. And because you were raised from the dead, I too will one day be raised to new life. Today I surrender my life to you in full, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the hope and the purpose that I now have. Thank you that today I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I give my life to you. Use me as you see fit. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. And all those who prayed that prayer said, Amen. I believe there's a number of you who prayed that today, and I want to congratulate you if you did. And you're welcome to go to our website. There's some great information there to help you understand this decision and walk out your journey of faith. Alternatively, you can WhatsApp the number that's on screen right now, and our team will follow up with you in the course of the week. Well, it's been another fantastic day online. Just a reminder that this coming Friday is our first in-person youth service again since we've been back Friday. Looking forward to that for all the young people. You don't have to book, but bring your teenagers along. It's going to be a fantastic evening. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget to book for next week in person. We'll see you soon.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.